2 Corinthians 10 and finish or not, this is all the time we're going to spend on this chapter. Let me say in advance, that having studied this so many hours, I wondered why it didn't just fall into place. And then I read from the greatest teachers that are around that this is one of the most difficult portions in the entire New Testament. So that's the reason. So if it's difficult for you to understand, then it should be. If it were simple for you to understand, there would be something remarkable about it. And that is the reason why when I read these words as they are in the original, there are various ways that it can be translated. And so what I tell you tonight is the way that I take these words to be translated. So what I will do is give you a few details, and then just having laid down what the words probably mean, then expand the interpretation. All right, let's start tonight at verse 8. 2 Corinthians 10:8. For though I should glory somewhat abundantly concerning our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for casting you down, I shall not be put to shame, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by my letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech of no account. Let such a one reckon this, that what we are in word by letters when we are absent, such are we also indeed when we are present. For we are not bold to judge ourselves among and compare or judge ourselves with certain of them that commend themselves, but they themselves measuring themselves by themselves and judging themselves with themselves are without understanding. But we will not glory beyond our measure, but according to the measure of the province which God apportioned to us as a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves over much, as though we reach not unto you, for we came even as far as unto you in the gospel of Christ, not glorying beyond our measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith groweth, we shall be magnified in you, according to our province, unto the further abundance. So, as to preach the gospel even unto the parts beyond you, and not to glory in another's province in regard of things ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. To understand it, we have to take some things into consideration, that some of the things that Paul says here are sarcastic. For instance, when he says, quoting them, why Paul's letters are weighty and strong, but he personally is weak and his speech of no account. That's what they say. And so the apostle is working upon those things. And he is speaking of a certain class, and this is the class, the ones that are his enemies, that denigrate him, that would pull him down from the exalted position that the Lord Jesus Christ has elevated him to, and then they would say, we are higher than you are. So this is the background. So remember that he's talking about some who have come to Corinth, and they had absolutely nothing to do with starting the church at Corinth. They're not a part of the church at Corinth. But they've come from the outside, and they have moved in, and now they're trying to rule the church, trying to set up themselves as great and important apostles, to be respected above all others, and to put down the Apostle Paul, who started the work. Now, once, and it's such a strange thing, because it is talking here about certain provinces, certain areas. Paul said, "We reached even unto you." If you are familiar with Acts chapter 17 and 18, beginning in chapter 16, Paul and Silas were trying to find out just where to go to preach the gospel. And finally, in the night, a vision came. "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And so they did. And so they were at Philippi, and then they went to Macedonia, and then they went down into Achaia. And when they went to Achaia, you had Athens, and then you have Corinth. So remember that God called Paul to come to Macedonia, and he went there and started the church at Philippi. But then he traveled further still. You see, he's speaking about the outreach, the limits of his glory. And had he only preached at Philippi and stopped there, then he would not have been able to glory as far as the church at Corinth. But in his desire to preach the gospel to those who had never heard before, he not only preached to those at Philippi and started the church, but he went to the south and to the west and started the church at Corinth as well. So keeping this in mind, we see just what has happened. Paul is the one who from the start began the church. Remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 3. Paul said, "As a wise master builder, I laid a foundation." He said to them, "Though you have 10,000 tutors in Christ, yet you have only one Father. I begat you through the gospel." So this is the background. Paul is the one who laid the foundation. He laid the foundation with Jesus Christ. "And the foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ our Lord." And then he graciously and with a sincere heart invited others to come and help. He said, "I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase." But notice, he is the one that started it. But this isn't an Apollos he's talking about now. These are people who neither planted nor watered nor did anything. But they came from the outside, moved in to the province, the sphere that God had allotted to the Apostle Paul. Now, I want to mention this because in one sense it's true, but in another sense it isn't. If I tell you things here in Goldsboro, I can tell you in a special way and with more authority than others. I can speak in different assemblies for this reason. God used me to start this meeting. And so if anybody comes in later, I thank God for every contribution. But if they do, they must remember that God sent me at first this far, and therefore, through God's help, I laid a foundation. It started in the home of Holland Snow, and then it went around gradually, and after a year or so, this building was made. And this is one of the strangest things, and I've never forgotten it. After all of this was started, I remember there was one brother that was contrary and would have cast me out, and he wasn't even here when things started, wasn't even saved. And he went out and got hold of another fine brother, but somehow influenced him in such a way, and I was glad to have others to preach. And I remember standing at the door, and when they came in, neither he nor the other preacher that he brought even spoke to me. They just brushed right by, and came in. And evidently we're going to take over and tell how this meeting should be run. And it was something I never forgotten. It happened over 30 years ago. I said, now isn't that a strange thing? So, what I experienced then, the Apostle Paul experienced to a far greater degree in the many assemblies that he started. Why? Because there are always those that are ready to come and tell you how to run something that they had nothing to do with starting. And this is what they're trying to do to the Apostle Paul. But this is what he means now. Let me give you a few explanations. Look at verse 8. For though I should glory somewhat abundantly concerning our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not to casting you down, I shall not be put to shame. Why? Because if some outsider comes and glories and boasts of all that he's done and what he can do, he shall be put to shame. Why? Because he didn't start the meeting. He didn't contribute to the meeting. He didn't water. He did nothing. And therefore, he had not the authority as an apostle, and he had not the power of an apostle. And therefore, if he gloried as he was glorying, Paul said, he's going to be put to shame. But as for me, if I glory, I'm not going to be put to shame. Why? If the Lord Jesus himself from heaven ordained Paul and sent him forth to preach, and at the same time, if the Lord Jesus empowered him with authority and with miraculous powers, then if he boasted of these things, he would not be put to shame. Why? Because they were genuinely his. But any man who was not ordained of the Lord Jesus, who did not have this apostolic authority or power, if he boasted, he would be put to shame. And these are the ones that are confronting the Apostle Paul. And that's what he means when he says, I shall not be put to shame. And then he speaks, look at verse 9, he terrifies you, these false apostles say, by his letters. And his letters, they say, they're weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech of no account. Paul says, this is a misrepresentation. Look at verse 11. Let such a one reckon this, that what we are in word by letters when we are absent, such shall we be, and such are we indeed when we are present. Absolutely no difference. Just as we read it the first, he said, my preaching and the preaching of those associated with me is not yea and nay, but it's yea and amen. For how many soever be the promises of God, in Christ is the yea, and through him also is the amen. He says, that is a description of me. Now, let me mention this because it's so important. It speaks of Paul and the authority which God gave him for building up and not for casting down. The word edify and edification is this word that is the contrast to casting down. To build up, to cast down. To build up is what is spoken of in 1 Corinthians 3. He said, I laid a foundation. And Paul delights when someone like Apollos, when someone like Titus, when someone like Timothy would come and build on that foundation. He said, I lay the foundation. If any man build thereon, gold, silver, precious stone. You see, that is what is to be done to the church. That is building up. But the Apostle Paul had authority not only to build up with gold and silver and precious stone, but as he spoke about all of these fortresses and all of these thoughts that are contrary to Christ being used as enemies against the truth of God at Corinth, he was tearing down these strongholds. And what the Apostle Paul said is this. He said, I do not want to come and find you led astray by these false apostles and then have to pull you down with the authority I have. He's done that before. There was a sinner in 1 Corinthians 5, and he said, put that wicked man away from among you.
And so there are those that he had to turn over to Satan. And he said, I do not want to use my authority to pull you down, to cast you down. I want to use my authority to build you up. And so that is the authority the Apostle Paul had. I will simply bring it to your attention. He said, as I gave orders to the churches of Galatia, so also do ye. He said in 1 Corinthians 7 concerning the way that a man should continue in his life as a Christian. He said, this is what I ordain, and I ordain it in all the churches. Now, only a man that is infallible and only a man that has the authority from God could say such a thing. And listen again to his authority. As an apostle, he spoke infallibly and he spoke with heavenly authority. He said in 1 Corinthians 14, if any man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge that the things that I say unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So, this is authority, and this is the power that God gave this man. So when Paul spoke, it was a man, a sinner saved by grace. But he said, this is the commandment of God coming through me. And he said, yes, I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. He said, nevertheless, I am one. And God has given me this authority and this power to build up, not to tear down. But do you remember? He said this, that he was going to, when their obedience was made full, he was going to take vengeance on those that were still disobedient. That would be his authority to pull down. Now, look also. Look at verse 15. Not glorying beyond our measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith groweth, we shall be magnified in you. Now, look at verse 6. It says, when your obedience shall be made full. So here is obedience, and he's waiting for it to be made full. And in verse 15, it says, when your faith groweth. And so here are those who weaken the faith, not mature. They did not commend the Apostle Paul, but they were tempted to condemn the Apostle Paul. But he says in verse 6, when your obedience shall be made full. And so there are some that are vacillating, but they see that his is the truth. And so their obedience is made full. And then he says, then I'm going to take vengeance on those that remain disobedient. And also, he speaks about their faith not only being made full, but he speaks also their faith growing. And it says, we shall be magnified in you. What does that mean? Well, when they've grown and when they've matured and when they see through all of the false teachings and the lies that these false apostles are teaching, he said, then instead of being criticized by you, we shall be magnified by you. And the word also can mean we shall be enlarged by you. What does it mean? It means that Paul came to Philippi and then he came to Corinth and he says, just as in the church at Antioch, they stayed there a year. And after a year's time, prophets and teachers were raised up, and when their faith grew and increased, then Paul and Barnabas were sent forth, and therefore that church spread. And so Paul is speaking about being enlarged and able to go to additional places once their faith has matured and once their obedience is made full. But until then, he says, I can't leave you. What am I doing thinking about going other places when your faith is not made full? When you are disobedient, how can I think about going to other places? And so he says, but when the time comes, he said, then your faith will be made full. Then your obedience will be made full. Your faith will grow. He said, after that, we shall be magnified, we shall be enlarged, and we shall be able to go to other places. So keep this in mind. this is a genuine apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ who has the authority and the power, and that is what he is doing. He is restraining himself. All right, now, look at verse 12, because this is so interesting. For we are not bold. Did you notice that he said, I am bold. When I come to you, I'm going to show you that I'm everything in your presence as I am in my letters when I'm away. He said, I have boldness. He said, however, and this is something that's humorous. He says, I'm not this bold. He said, I'm not so bold as to behave the way these false apostles do. Because what they do is this. It says, they judge themselves among themselves, and they judge themselves with themselves. And they said, because they do that way, they are without understanding. He said, I'm not that bold. I can't muster up strength and courage to do that. Now, that is an excellent sarcasm. But now, think what we have here. And it's so much like the standards of the world. I think of something that was read to me years ago, and I never forgot it. It's just fiction, but these two men were going to start an institute of higher learning, a college or a university, and there were only two of them, and so they were discussing how they would do it, and they spoke about all those that would be brought in to teach, and the man that was talking said, and I will be the president of the university, and you shall be the dean of students of the university. And then the man to whom he said that made mention, he said, to be president of a university, you have to have a doctor's degree. And I, as dean of students, must have a doctor's degree. He said, that is no trouble at all. As soon as we start this university, we will give ourselves honorary degrees, and that's the way the matter will be handled. Now, isn't that wonderful? You say, it's absurd. And this is precisely the way that these false apostles were reckoning. They're not thinking of the qualifications that our Savior laid down, and someday I may show you the requisite qualifications of an apostle. They had none of those qualifications, but it made no difference. The way that they considered themselves and evaluated themselves was this way. As for Paul and Peter and the other apostles, they are not taken into consideration. But here, they are a little group of themselves, and they judge themselves among themselves. They did not include anybody else. They judge themselves among themselves, and they judge themselves with themselves. And so it was all within that little circle. And so whatever standards they said were the greatest, those were the greatest. And therefore, they could not compare, and they would not compare their preaching and their teaching to the Apostle Paul's, because that would destroy them. All they did was this. In their own little circle, they judged themselves among themselves, and they judged themselves with themselves. And Paul said, you lack understanding. So, if I wanted to think of a few of the teachers in the assemblies and some of the evangelicals, I may be able to say, why, I'm as good at that as that man, and I'm as good at that man, and I can do this as well as he can, and I can do as well as he can, and I could be exalted. But that's not the standard. The standard is something set by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the standard we go by. The Lord Jesus said this concerning service. He said, which of you shall have a servant that's worked in the field all day, And when he comes in at night, his master shall say to him, get me something to eat, and after I eat, you may go and have something to eat. He said, does he praise the servant for that? Not at all. Why? He says, because he's done what he's supposed to do. And I haven't even done what I'm supposed to do. And they haven't done what they're supposed to do. And yet, they are praising themselves and glorifying themselves. And so, in like manner, when I think about the preaching that has been done, think of the inspired utterances that we have in the Word of God, the Holy Writ, and then you think of the way that you try to present the Word of God, you hang your head. You say, Lord, how insignificant. You do what you can, but it says, I say unto you by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as to think soberly, according as God hath given to each man a measure of faith. And therefore, do not judge yourself by other weaklings and those that are in your little area, or even the evangelicals we know. But look at those like the Apostle Paul. Look at Peter's message on the day of Pentecost. Look at the great messages, the discourses that Moses gave in the Old Testament. Compare yourself to that, and then you will hang your head and you will be humbled. But if I pick out weaklings and others that are no more than I am and compare myself among them and with them, why, I could make myself to be of the highest importance. Paul said, I do not have that much boldness among them. He said, that's the way they do. And because they do it, it says, they are without understanding. Now look at verse 13. But we will not glory beyond our measure. What does that mean? It means that Paul will glory in Philippi. He will glory in Corinth. All the churches that Paul started, he will say, that will be the extent of my glorying. I am not going to glory beyond measure. That's what these false ones were doing. They were glorying in the province and in the assemblies that the Apostle Paul started. He said, I'm not going to glory beyond measure, but according to the province of the territory that God apportioned unto us to reach even unto you. Now look at verse 14. For we stretch not ourselves over much as though we reach not unto you. For we came even as far as unto you in the gospel of Christ, not glorying beyond our measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith groweth, we shall be magnified in you according to our province unto further abundance, so as to preach the gospel even unto parts beyond you, and not to glory in another's province in regard of things ready to our hand. What does that mean, things ready to our hand? It means things that somebody else has prepared and made ready, and then the Apostle Paul walks in and takes over and tries to rule and control. He said, that is not going to be our behavior. But look at verse 17. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul says, I am perfectly content to glory in the sphere that God has used me. And I do not need to go to things ready at hand, other assemblies and works that men have started, and glory in them. Notice what it says in verse 18. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. And Paul was such a man. So let's take all these things to heart and understand that they are men's standards and they are God's standards. There is the walking in the flesh, and there is the walking according to the flesh, and warring according to the flesh. And then there is also the warring
in the sight of God, mighty to the tearing down of citadels and also bringing every thought into obedience, into captivity, to the obedience of Christ. Let us examine what Paul went through, and let us follow his path. Time is drawn. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for what these pioneers like Paul went through to get churches started. We think of some here in North Carolina, how Lester Wilson years ago went from one town to another and labored so hard. And yet, you know that others would come in and change all of the things that he labored so hard to do. Our Father, we pray that we being the ones who were instruments in these things, that we shall be faithful to thee and welcome Titus and Timothy and Apollos and all of those that shall help in the work of God. But let us also be afraid of those who are false apostles, who transform themselves into angels of light and ministers of righteousness, and let us be afraid of them. So we thank you for what we have here, our Father. It's far from what it should be, but we're so thankful that Christ is honored. He's remembered each Lord.